We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and as you can tell by the title, this is not a proper podcast. So every time I do this, I feel like I owe you guys an explanation, and I did so last time, and I'm doing it again. We had something planned, but I don't think you guys wanted to hear us break down the game for two straight days. So instead, we have a little locker room session that we did this morning. We normally post these to Patreon, but for today, we're going to post it here. So, you know, just sit back and relax and listen to our little therapy session. I'm here, Tiff's here, Siobhan's here, Jack's here, Alf's here. It's a little bit heat beat hodgepodge on locker room. And I don't know. I just kind of felt like there was a lot to this game, and we're going to have time. We're gonna break it down tomorrow, twitch.tv/MIA Heat Beat, 7 p.m. Frankie and I are coming on to kind of talk more about the game in depth. We actually originally had planned to do two pods, so one today with Frankie and I, and then tomorrow with a Milwaukee Bucks guest. But I figured that you guys might not want to hear from a Bucks guest, and it's been testy between Heat Twitter and Bucks Twitter. So we were going to spare you. We're going to keep the shit in-house. So we just want to kind of give you the little content that we did. I know it's playoffs, so we're doing a balance, right? We want to respect the audience, and we also want to give you guys some stuff. So this is kind of, this feels good. I mean, this was kind of a vent session with some of our listeners and other people on the Locker Room app. If you're not on it, get on it. We do it after every game. Get Locker Room on iOS or Android. It's fun. It's a good time. You could talk to us, give us your takes, and listen, enjoy, sit back, and here we go. Our Locker Room special episode.
This is a Locker Room production.
Good morning, Tiff.
Good morning, G.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You know what? I gotta be 100% honest.
Sure.
I legitimately got a headache from last night's game. I had to take Advil. I felt bad. I was like, and I'm not like an, you know, it's weird. Like, I'm not like an angry, like, I don't watch sports angry, right? Like, I don't, like, maybe like I'll lash out on Twitter if like something bothers me, but for the most part, like, I don't get upset. I'm like, my mom, like, gets mad, right? She's mad at Bam. She's mad at Jimmy. She's mad at everybody.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and my mom's yelling in three different languages at everybody to the point that she's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm going upstairs. I'm going to bed. I work too hard to deal with this shit. I can't. I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. And then she just says, Lopez is a million feet tall. Of course he hits everything. And then she goes, who is Bryn Forbes? What is wrong with his mustache? So I have that in my ear. And I'm like, I can't. This is like too much going on. I can't. I ended with a headache.
It's hilarious. I mean, I was watching in my house in the living room, and my wife and daughter were like back and forth. And right before Jordan goes to bed, Kim looks at the score, but she doesn't say anything. Right. And first of all, Iguodala is the only player she knows. So take that for, yes, take that for what it is. So she looks at the score again. And she looks at me, but she doesn't say anything. She goes and puts Jordan in bed. And she comes back and she goes, oh. And then she just like goes into the room, does the Peloton, comes back. And she goes, I'm just going to ask you a question. And I was like, okay. And she goes, so who's the star on the Heat? And I go, tonight, nobody.
That's Mr. Deadman disrespect. Did you see that tweet that Chef Trilly tweeted out? And it's like Deadman on the Heat, and it's like a Lamborghini park, like this rundown
garage. Yes, it's like so crazy. Like she literally just looked at the score and was like, "Who's the star?"
Nobody.
I was just like, nobody.
Honestly, you know, and it's funny because of what we were talking about in our group chat. It was kind of Bobby Portis to me because he was so bad on defense that the only time the Heat looked like they could score was when they were going up Bobby and drop.
Right.
It was, man, what a weird night. I mean, it, you know, Tiff, and welcome everybody to our locker room. I like her. I like that cold open. That was fun. You know, they had that loss in the regular, I think it was the second, or no, it was the first game that they played in the regular season, right? It was the first mm-hmm. that they just get absolute, it looked like that.
Right,
that's what
right.
it looked like. That maybe the regular season one was worse, like technically, but they get absolutely like so. This isn't like new to them, right? And
right,
you know. So you know, I can't even say like I'm surprised. I mean, I am surprised when like Bryn Forbes is hitting like everything. Like it was a little ridiculous. And if you look at the scoring margin after the first quarter, it was like a relatively even game. I think the Bucks were like +4 or 3 or something like that. It wasn't a lot. So. Really, the game was in the first quarter, but I mean, it unraveled so. I mean, that unraveled so quickly.
Oh yeah,
it unraveled so quickly. Nobody played well other than Deadman. I mean, really, Deadman. I mean, I think kind of you saw life from Bam, mm-hmm. right? In a way that I think is. I'm trying to find positives here, Tiff.
I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm with you.
he got a little life. He was getting downhill. He had some moves where he muscled over guys. Right. So their defense, I don't think sat bad. A lot of that was Tyler and Nunn losing Bryn Forbes, which like that's just who they are. That shouldn't surprise us.
Right.
But I don't know. Is there anything positive that you want to take? I mean, we're trying to be positive out here.
Right. Right. I felt worse this morning about it than I did yesterday. Like it's funny because this morning I woke up and I was like, I don't care about a loss, but show the hell up.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how I feel. Like, I don't care about a loss. Just show up. Show up and have some pride. Like there's a difference, you know, like they didn't play with energy. They didn't play with effort. It's just show up and have some pride. So it's like if you lose to the better team, you tip your hat and you keep going. I think also, like, honestly, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And we can't I always say, like, I'm not the gatekeeper of everybody's emotions. So if you're pissed off about it, be pissed off. If you're OK about it, be OK. And you're allowed to express all these emotions. Because this is the type of team, they're a roller coaster team. So if you ride or die with them, that means you're going to have, you know, roller coaster emotions. And I think that like last night's game, it put people on edge. And honestly, I kind of like it because it really does show that like they do have a real fan base. Like people love this team.
We care.
Yeah, people love this team. People, you know, people, we haven't had sports, like real sports, in how long? So people were looking forward to going to the games and all these things. And then, you know, you get this. You get this. You know, you
get shellacking. This.
Right. It was a shellacking. And honestly, I'm a little scared that Jimmy had to put the cape on too much this season. Coming off of all the injuries, coming off of COVID. I'm a little afraid that, like, because I thought he was going to have a great game last night. And
we all did.
Yeah, and if the body's not willing, it doesn't matter what the mind wants to do.
Mind didn't want to get there either. I don't know.
I was going to say that.
Wait, is that Jack?
Yeah.
Hey,
objectively,
Jack.
Look, I love Jimmy. I love Bam. Objectively, this was a very funny game. You got to put away your Heat fandom for a bit.
No, it is. Jack's
realize
right.
How much shit Jimmy was talking all year, especially before the series. Giannis comes into the series, says, I don't know if we're going to win. I don't know what's going to happen.
And we clowned him.
Kicks him in the chin.
And we clowned him.
Everyone was making jokes, getting their jokes off. We put the Heat and 5 shirt on him. And...
Uh-huh.
We deserved every part of that loss. And I also think that Bucks team in the game two is way closer to the real Bucks than the game one.
No, you're crazy. I disagree with you about that.
No.
Well,
they shot 16% from three.
I kept saying
they shot 41% from three in the second game. They're 39%.
Right. I kept saying they were going to shoot the three better in the second game. And I mean, because they're a good 3-point shooting team. And
yeah,
also,
but the 140 in regulation is not.
Yeah. But here's the thing where I figured they would shoot the three better because our guards will regress to the mean. Which means they're not going to be able to get out on them for 7 games. Like they're not strong enough. They're not fast enough. And honestly, they don't read the offense well enough to know when to go, when not to go. Yeah. So they were open. You can't keep giving people open looks and think they're going to miss.
I mean, we're bearing the lead here, guys, where the Heat do not have their best player in the series, Eric Bledsoe. I mean, he's not here. And, you know, I don't think we would expect a team to succeed without their most important asset on both ends of the floor, really. So, I mean, credit to the Heat for even fighting that game one without him. I mean,
right.
Not to be a Debbie Downer, but the shame is that Goran looks really good. Goran looks better than I thought he would look in the series.
Gogi looks great.
Yeah.
The Warriors are doing their jobs.
Yeah.
I mean,
he looks good.
So I don't have the stats from last game, but I know that he was good. I mean, in the regular season, he was like 0.8 point per possession as a pick and roll handler. In this series, he's like 1.35. Which is like, it's like LeBron levels of good. Yeah. It's like, well, where'd this come from, dude? He was getting to the rim. Like, he had bursts. I'm like, damn. I wanted to tweet Pat Riley and Jimmy Butler sold Goran Dragic a lie.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Honestly, they're wasting probably his last good playoff series. Like, I don't think he's going to have this going next year.
They wasted two Dragic games and the Deadman Extraordinaire game.
Yeah, they did.
Sam and Jimmy needed to be embarrassed, though.
Guys, imagine if they win that game with Deadman giving that performance, how good Hangover Time would have been.
That would have been amazing.
It would have been a legendary night for the
That would have been amazing.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Somebody in our chat last night, I think it was Vane Hype, and they said that this is Deadman's hobby. That his day job is really a mechanic. It's just his passion.
Not even That's, he's doing this for his like nephew as a favor. He's coming out putting.
Good morning, Al.
The gold bond on.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Al.
First time, long time.
You sound sad.
No, I'm not sad because I know it's because it's still Heat in five.
Let's go.
Buy your shirts.
Buy your shirt in my main store right now.
Go to shop.miamiheatbeat.com and buy the shirt. It's always Heat in five. Listen, y'all sound like a bunch of cowards. No guts.
None.
Where's the culture in this locker room? There's no None. Culture.
No.
Let me tell you guys. Yeah. Very positive thing about this series is I'm a big believer that Pat Riley needs to be frequently embarrassed because that's what he's at his best. I think he does get really high on himself sometimes, and that's why you see off seasons like the one this off season. And just give Bam and Jimmy and Pat and Spo a full offseason of embarrassment, and they're going to come out firing, and they're going to win seven titles.
You don't even need embarrassment. You just need a mirror put up in front of you to see the truth.
Well, why did Spo catch a stray?
Spo was at fault last night, too. You don't give up. What was it? They were on a 14-2 run. You call a timeout and you come out and you just have a 18-second offensive possession that end up in a turnover, and they hit two more threes. And then it was like, all right, well, here's the first quarter. We're just going to do their best. I think the coaching staff was equally responsible as Jimmy and Bam for the failure of last night. But things just have to change. And they got game 3 to do it at home. But man, if we lose on Thursday, a lot of big changes are going to have to happen.
Even if they lose the series, a lot of changes have to happen.
If they win the series, a lot of changes.
Exactly. You can't run this team back where half of them don't even run down the court on transition. So you just can't bring them back.
Like, only the old guys did.
Exactly.
Desmond and Gogi.
Trevor Ariza looks like he wants to go back.
Get his ass out of here. That dude has sucked. Oh my God. Wait.
We're not
going back to the
hold up. Hold up. We're not doing this. Hold up. Let me just say this. We're not doing this morning on Trevor Ariza. This ain't the matchup for him. We said it before the series.
The series.
He's a good role player, but this ain't it.
I didn't like the shit he did to Giannis. I didn't like the shit he did to Giannis, and I didn't like the Goron thing to Middleton. I don't like that. You're losing. That's going outside. I hated that.
Yeah, that man wants to go back to the Safeway and bag groceries. He don't want to play no more.
This ain't the matchup for him because guess what? A week and a half ago, we were touting him when he was doing his thing. It's just that, guess what? Giannis is a beast. So you ain't got the brute strength of Jay Crowder because he just backing him down. That's all he's doing. So either you're going to put, and let's be realistic, either you're going to put Bam on him or Giannis is going to eat. That's it. Because you got nobody else.
Remember when we had multiple guys that could guard Giannis?
Oh, you mean a couple of months ago?
Yeah, a few months ago. That was
long time ago. Long time ago.
I'm going to get out of here, but I want to agree with something that Jesse said, that the coaching staff, and I said this on last night's Hangover Time, there's some fault there. Like, at some point, we got to stop fucking being cute. They are bigger than us. They are stronger than us. And you keep running out of reason at the four. It's not that man's fault. Like, he's not, like you guys said, he's not equipped to be a four in this series. And the coaching staff continue, like, and just the whole, like, you know, like Jack was saying, the hubris about this team in this front office, where you run it back, you know, you're the smartest guy in the room. You don't think you need a point guard. You don't need a power forward. You just play this little cute positionless basketball. And then a bigger team comes in and punches you in the fucking mouth. And that's what happens.
Can we get some Bam and Deadman rotations? Because I feel like for this series, that's going to be the adjustment they're going to need to try to do in game three. Like, can we just see what Deadman has starting next to Bam?
I don't think they'll start him, but I think they'll go to it. I think they're more likely to start Bielica next to Bam. That I could see happening faster than them starting Deadman.
To try to get that Kelly drop coverage replication.
Yeah, and like everyone on Twitter made fun of me when I brought this up last night, but I was like a legitimate element to their offense against the Bucks last year was the Olynyk pick and pop. And Olynyk was like plus 20 in that series.
That's not why people were making fun of you for that. You were right, but it was just like they were down 30, so why are you bringing up Kelly Olynyk?
Oh, I only brought up Kelly Olynyk because Christian in the chat brought up Olynyk, and I started thinking about it, and I looked at the net rating of last year, and I was remembering that we talked about it a lot. It's like, man, Kelly just fucking destroying these bench units, and I just remembered, and then I was accused of having a take just to have a take.
Well, can I defend the Oladipo trade real quick? I think it was absolutely, if anything,
the game proved that
all the moves they made in the midseason were absolutely right. Like, some Raptors fan who I follow was saying, like, oh, teams that should have traded for Kyle Lowry are now 1-4. This is definitive proof that trading for Kyle Lowry would have been a horrible idea.
Call him out.
Anthony Doyle said, that Miami should have traded for Kyle Lowry. Like, this is proof that they made all the right moves in the midseason. There was just no rescuing them from all of the other things going against them. Depot was always a high risk move, but there was, you know, you had to make it because it was the low only risk, way you could get upside.
Right.
Low risk, medium reward.
Low risk, but there was the injury was always going to be a problem. And, you know, it turned out not turning out well. But the reason Deadman move was great too, like, The front office is not stupid. They just kind of had a dumb offseason, and it's hard to overcome the shortest offseason in NBA history. It looks like none of the conference finalists are really overcoming it. Like, the Nuggets look good, but, you know, everybody's been kind of screwed by it. The Celtics are a first-round out. Lakers, I'm not going to say they are a first-round out, but they didn't look wonderful against the Suns.
They scored more points last night than the Lakers did. In their game.
Yeah, I'm just not going to bet against LeBron until I see it.
No, I just think, and I feel like I've kind of been just like sprinkling this in the whole season. Like, no one was going to save them from themselves. Because this is a hodgepodge of players that, you know, are good on Tuesday and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday may or may not show up. So we're getting what we've gotten.
Well, that's why. Yeah, I said that last night. I was like, this has been the whole season. We have had a whole season where we're talking about them being inconsistent. It's like, no, they've been consistently bad. Honestly, like, they've been consistently disappointing is what it is. We're in the playoffs. We kept trying to get them to flip the switch. And this just might be it. I mean, you can't score under 100 points in the playoffs, regardless of who you're playing.
So they've been. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning.
I agree that they've been fairly inconsistent all season, but to kind of gloss over the fact that they've been playing so much better and doing different things toward the latter part of the season, I think is the wrong thing to do. Yeah. Yeah. For the large part of the season, they've looked like, you know, the team that we've seen, but they were doing different things. They were looking at different stuff. Bam was doing different things. People were cutting, people were moving. They were doing stuff that we felt good about.
They're off.
100%. My bad.
Siobhan's
point. I'm at work. There was an announcement, but yeah, they were doing things that we felt better about going into the season. We were playing well, and Brass had to keep telling people, don't be fooled, because they had started to look better. And I think they just have gone away from so much of what, you know, made them start to
Well, that's where my criticism of the coaching staff comes from, because I don't understand, like, you know, execution is a big part of it, but, like, I don't understand what happened from, what is it, 10 days ago. And we're playing Boston two in a row, and then we play Philly, and the offense just looks so revitalized. And we're thinking, hey, this is the rotation we're going to run with for the playoffs, so this is the offense we're going to use. And to now, where it looks like the offense we had in January, I just don't understand where that regression came from. I don't know.
I think it's purely Bam and Jimmy.
It is. I think you're right, Jack.
It is.
Purely Jimmy and Bam.
It starts and ends with them.
Yeah, it is. And guess what? I just keep looking at it this way. Even Cinderella had to lose that glass slipper. It's just, this is it. No matter how good they play for stretches, they still always revert back to, and guess what? They always do it at the inopportune times. And that's what's happening right now. So guess what? When do we play again? Thursday?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's Thursday. Yeah.
So guess what? They could go out Thursday and win the game by 20 because that's who they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the biggest frustration with the team, because, you know, at some point they could go beat anybody by 20, but we also know they could lose by 30.
You know, Tiff and Siobhan, like, and like, they do not have an answer for the drop when their pull-ups aren't going.
They do have an answer that Bam's just not answering it.
And there you go.
He has really lost
Jack, 100%. The phone is ringing and nobody's home.
But that's my point, though. Like, Jimmy's getting to the spot and not connecting. Bam has kind of pulled up a couple times and it hasn't looked good.
Bam won't look.
You got to keep shooting.
Bam won't look at the basket.
Yeah.
Kendrick, it's not falling. The only guy who's getting what he wants is gone consistently. And to be honest with you, Duncan, but they didn't go to him a ton. I mean,
well, he got schemed off the floor last night. Let's be realistic.
I don't know about that.
They couldn't get the ball to him.
They didn't run their stuff. I mean, they were like that to me was like, if you're gonna look at like what the coaches have did, like, I didn't see him run, and I'm gonna rewatch the game later, but I did not see him run off a single double screen to catch off a DHO, which is like
his best. It looked like to me they couldn't pass the ball to him. That's what it looked like to me.
I think they tried to make a concerted effort to run things for Bam and Jimmy in that first quarter, and it just went so fucking sideways on them.
They couldn't.
The second play of the game, they ran a post up.
They ran two straight plays for Bam.
Second possession.
I was like, what? They suffer something. Don't post. That guy's bigger than you.
Yeah, I gotta go, y'all. But yeah, but Bam and Jimmy, I think they're the only ones anybody needs to look at. Hero, not worth looking at. Because he's just, this is who he is. I mean,
no, I know, Jack, you and I have said this. No, you and I have said this all year. Yes, you and I have said this.
He was their fifth best player in a or yeah, their fifth best player last year, and that's cool. And I think he's going to bounce back, but he's just not the guy. He's not on Jimmy and Bam's level. Jimmy and Bam are the stars. They've had good. They'd have me and G on the pregame show before game one. What did we say? We said, well, we know Jimmy and Bam are going to do their jobs. It's up to everybody else to do their jobs. It's been the opposite. Other people have done their jobs. Goran did his job. Duncan's done his job. Deadman did his job.
Everyone did their job the first game.
Yeah. And I do think this is the kick in the ass that Bam needs to get his shit together. Because you're right, Siobhan. He is not looking at the basket at all unless it's absolutely necessary. And he's the only one open on the floor sometimes. And it's a gift because he is way too good an offensive player to be left open.
And let's be honest. He's a better shooter than Jimmy.
Yes.
Yeah. So in the mid-range.
Yes.
When you leave him open, yeah, for sure. Especially now.
Not only has he been the most open, you know, some of the times, Bam is consistently the most open player on the floor this entire series. The whole series. It's inexcusable.
It is. They're punking him. They're punking him.
They're punking the shit out of him, and they're like, he's letting it happen. You're absolutely.
And I don't want to take blame off Bam, but I do think there's something in the scheme that's like encouraging this because Jimmy does the same thing where he's overpassing, and it's not nearly as bad as Bam, but I do think there's something there where he wasn't always like this. He wasn't like this last year. There has to be some explanation for it.
Jack
doesn't take any of the weight off him fucking up. Like he's still
What I genuinely think it is, and this has been kind of emblematic and it's happened all season, when they drop on him, and that's in the scouting report, he is not gonna go at you. Right. Yeah. So when the big is dropped, even if he's in the mid post or he's on the elbow, right, the bigs aren't playing up to him. Right, which is what he wants because he wants to use quickness. He doesn't want to use the other stuff. So when they're dropped and he doesn't have that option, he takes one dribble, maybe pulls up, maybe doesn't. He's kind of shaky on that, but that's why he's looking for the other option, right? Because they'll build in two or three things off those actions. And the last one he wants to do is kind of go at these guys. And that's just who he is, and that's fine, but... I mean,
the drop?
They can't solve drop for two straight series because the Lakers did it, and it really kind of hindered Jimmy in those later games. But that's why you also need a shooting big.
The drop should be the most advantageous cover for him because we've seen if he's done nothing else all season, if he hasn't driven, if he hasn't got to the line, if he hasn't exhibited any post moves, at least he has been consistently taking that mid-range shot. So the drop should be playing perfectly into his wheelhouse.
Yeah, but Siobhan, I mean, if you look at the season, like when bigger dudes are in drop, Gobert, Ayton, these kinds of like big guys, it's always bothered him. Those feet games look horrible.
It doesn't make sense.
It's also kind of like
it doesn't make sense.
With the shot that he has, if you look at the spacing on the floor, when he catches the ball in that position, he shouldn't even be dribbling.
At all.
Yeah.
That's a catch and shoot. That's a pure catch and shoot. And you know what? If he misses 20, I'm okay. But take it. Take it. Yeah. There's no dribbling in that situation.
I like him going downhill. I don't want him to always do that.
You got to see something go through the basket. And if they're giving you,
But
I'm saying, but see, here's the difference when you're physically out there, and that's what they're giving you to start. If you get a couple of those to drop, do you know what that does for the confidence?
Oh, 100%.
Because that's why he needs that jump shot to fall. They forced him into the post twice. And he fucked up twice.
He's a bad post player.
Don't force him into the post. Let his game happen naturally. Let the pull up hit first. Then put him on the elbow and let him turn and drive.
He has to face up.
Like it should be a three-step progression for his offense in every game.
Yeah, this is the last thing I'll say before I go, but yeah, I think you're 100% on the money with Bam. I do think Like, this is the hurdle he needs to make to be a superstar. And I do think he makes it in the offseason. I trust him to respond to this shit.
This is what you need.
I think a couple people in the chat have mentioned different things about how the team's constructed. And it really, for Jimmy's aging going forward, and honestly, for Bam to play the game he wants to play, because he does want to be a facilitator, and you don't want to make him not a facilitator, they need to find somebody who is their go-to scorer. Because Bam can make that adjustment, but I don't think that's the best Bam that you want. I think and Jimmy's not going to age well if he has to be a go-to scorer.
No. They need a pure scorer. Somebody that just says, give me the ball, get out of the way.
And that's what people, I know that's what I myself mean when I say Jimmy cannot be your primary option. Jimmy is not offensively talented. I don't care what anyone says. He is not a pure scorer he doesn't have the mindset to go out and he has the mind to do whatever it takes to win. But like Tiff said, he is not a give me the rock, I'm going to go get a bucket. Bam definitely isn't. And so I know for me, that's what I mean when I say Jimmy can't be our primary guy on that end of the floor.
He injures himself throwing himself at the rim. Like the way he does go out and get a bucket is detrimental to his
health.
I'm out of here, y'all.
Yep. Bye, Jack.
Later, Jack. Love y'all. Hey, Jesse. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys.
We're gonna get a couple other folks in here. You're the best, bro.
Good talk to you.
Okay. Homie, legend, Heat Beat, lifer, Eric the Great. What's up, Eric?
Morning, Eric.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, Eric.
Hope everybody's doing well. I'm at work right now, so I just got a quick question. When does game 2 start?
Thursday at 8 p.m.
Thursday? Okay, I'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be ready. We have the Weird Al pregame show 30 minutes before tip-off, remember.
I just have one way to describe that game was a nightmare, a shit show, you know, whatever you want to call it. It was I don't think I watched past the second quarter.
Must be nice. I get to watch it again later.
All right. Be well, you guys.
Love you, Eric. You're the best. All right, we're going to get in another lifer in here. Curtis Hero.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
Curtis. You know, I've been a diehard fan of this team since 1996 and watched almost every playoff game. And I can't recall a time, you know, there's been some demoralizing losses. I always think about, I still think about Allen Houston making that game winner. But the shellacking that we saw last night created such a pit in my stomach. I felt sick all morning. I don't even want to follow. I deleted Zach Lowe's podcast off my phone. I want to follow any NBA coverage until game 3.
That's how I felt after the Mavs loss in 2011.
That's very – all right. Yeah. That's definitely up there. But in terms of – at least then we knew the team was going to come back, right? I think game 3 is going to be one of the most quintessential, important games for this squad moving forward. How do they respond after getting their ass kicked, right, being demoralized? And if we drop game 3, I think that – I think we have to look at this offseason as a complete remaking of the roster. So, you know, I think the flip side is, you know, the silver lining in the situation could be it's going to give us clarity. How does this team show up in game 3? Are we competitive? Can we pull it out? And if we have another poor showing, then I think that gives us a lot of answers, right? And there's going to be a lot of decisions to be made on Duncan Robinson, on Kendrick Nunn. And we got to talk about it on Tyler Hero's future because we call him, you know, the asset. And I got to be real. The way – go ahead.
Oh, nothing. I said y'all.
The way he's playing, like how big an asset is he for us at this point? I feel there's some depreciation. So anyway, I just wanted to share some of my grief and say that, you know, game 3 is going to be huge for us. How do we show up in response to this? Thank you.
I think Curtis, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. And that, to be honest with you, the element I didn't think of was kind of these dudes that are on the hook to get paid. Like, how are they going to approach that? And we could talk about that in a later time. We're going to have plenty of time whenever their season ends. But they – listen, they are staring down a barrel of like
– Yeah.
And you know, Tiff and Siobhan, like, they have, you know, as much as the Bucks are exercising their demons, which is clear. This is an exorcism for them.
Right.
Miami has something to prove because nobody takes what they did seriously. And it's unfair because nobody says shit to the Lakers and it's only us. But, you know, it is what it is. And they kind of have this kind of hanging over them. And I think that game three, like Curtis said, is going to be really telling because the takes on the timeline were flying. It was some people even said like Jimmy Butler like tricked y'all into thinking he was good. I was like, Jimmy just had an all NBA season. What are you talking about? Like, it's wild what people are like saying on the internet. That's going to matter. Whatever they do is going to matter. Nathan, bringing Nathan in.
Hey, what's good, everyone?
What's up, man?
Yeah, so my only question is that, like, what happened to Tyler Hero, like, over the past years? Like, he was so automatic, like, his rookie season. Like, I just don't remember him playing that bad.
He struggled in the rookie season. His bubble's overstated. Tim, you'd agree, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's a real NBA season right now that's happening. Like, they're actually traveling. They're actually playing playoff games in other people's arenas.
There's crowds.
You're not secluded. It's not just you and the homies. Like, this is what it really looks like. This is what it feels like. And also, everybody got an opportunity to watch him put it on Celtics last year and say, oh, so he liked to do this, but he can't do this. Got it.
Yep.
That's what happened. You went all into your bag and you pulled out your snarl and all these things, but you didn't go into the weight room.
So
everybody now schemes for him. And even when he's on the court, it's hard for him to get a shot off right now because he's small.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I do think that regardless, even if you guys win or lose the series, I think that Tyler Hero might be on the chop, like trading block this at the end of this offseason. Anyways.
He was at the deadline.
He was at the deadline. He was already traded in my mind.
Wait, who else was on the trading block? I thought there were like other players too. Like,
him, Kendrick.
Kendrick Nunn, yes. Duncan Robinson. There were a few other players too.
I had heard that Nunn's agent was told expect to be moved.
He was going to be part of the Oladipo trade, though.
But I'm they had too much leverage there, and they just needed because his salary is so little. Like you just got like somebody has to really want him, right?
Right.
Like, it's not helping you get to a certain figure. So it's like somebody needs to. And you know he didn't look. He really started playing really well after the deadline. It was really before that it was like, really? Because then we have to pay him, and why would we want that? And let's just not. So,
yeah. And I do think that if Oladipo was healthy during the series, I think the series would have probably been a lot more different. Maybe they could have won game one, maybe game two would have been such a big blowout. But yeah, like a healthy Oladipo would have probably helped right now.
I mean, especially on defense because, that first quarter was as bad a defensive performance as I've seen. I mean, they were overhelping off things that I didn't think needed overhelping. Tyler, I mean, that one Bryn Forbes, he missed the three. Tyler's like under the basket, not guarding anybody. And then they swing at a Forbes. And I was like, how do you lose that guy? Right. And it was a lot of that.
Yeah, not only that, like watching the game, I saw the moment when Trevor Ariza like got off Giannis. Like trying to like push off him, I was like, "Damn, he's really trying everything in his best and trying to get under Giannis's skin right now." But it didn't work. Obviously,
you like that. You're not a Heat fan, right, Nathan?
Well, I've been watching Heat games though this season, and I know that
I guess I just wanted your perspective on that as somebody who's like not a Heat fan, because like some Heat fans liked it, and I
on
was
what
like, I don't
on know. What the Trevor Ariza situation?
Yeah, I was like, that's kind of. I mean, you're being a punk, dude. Like,
listen,
you're getting your ass kicked on TV, and you're trying to do that. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, Trevor Ariza, dude. Like, he's basically like a definition of like the dog on your team, basically. And like, obviously, he's not basically going to be your main focus on like offense, but like he's obviously like there's a like basically talk basically, if you know what I mean, like
yeah, I get you.
Yeah, and basically what happened last night was like I saw what he was doing though. I was like, okay, he's trying to get under Giannis's skin, he's trying to make him, you know, talk back basically, but Giannis didn't bite the bait. even like during a second time when he had like a second scuffle and he started playing soccer with the basketball, I was like, yeah, dude, there's nothing you guys can do basically to get under Giannis' skin. And even if he did, I don't think it's going to be like noticeable.
I don't know. Good point. Nathan, I appreciate you stopping through. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Siobhan, can I ask you a question? Let's close on this. We were talking in our group chat before we started about Bobby Portis. I think Bobby's been like legit bad. I think he's been like the worst Buck. The only time the Heat get any offense going is when they attack Bobby and Rob. I'm like Bobby's been the Heat's best player, like low key.
I feel like my point is being misconstrued here a little bit. So maybe
That's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Bobby specifically himself wouldn't have, you know, been Miami's answer. But this idea that there are just so many guys out there who objectively would help and Heat fans are just so, no, we don't want that guy. Oh, no, he doesn't fit the culture. Oh, no, he this, he that, like that.
What do you mean? What do you mean people say don't fit the culture? Because I saw you say that and I didn't really understand. Like,
oh, that whole, you know, like well, a lot of that for me was kind of hearkening to the James Harden situation. But just this idea that we are just head and shoulders, you know, top class, the, you know, that just the creme of the crop on every front of, you know, of NBA, of teams, and that other teams don't have a culture, that other teams don't have a way that they like to go about business, that other teams, you know, aren't aggressive, aren't tough, and that they haven't seen and heard all of the touting and all of the praise that's been thrown at Miami, you know, since the bubble. To Nathan's point about kind of what happened to Tyler, he's been found out. People have had an entire season to scheme, to talk about him, to prepare for him. People are tired of hearing about Miami. For whatever reason, people already didn't respect or didn't give Miami their due credit even before last season. For whatever reason, Miami doesn't ever actually get the credit that a lot of Heat teams feel that they deserve. And so coming off of last season and into now this season, people are just are over it and are tired of hearing about it as if other teams aren't good and don't take pride in the way that they handle their business. And to the Bobby point, I just think his length, his aggression, his toughness, kind of the stuff that we are missing in Jay, the stuff that I miss personally in DJJ, energy, athleticism, you know, hypeness. Those types of things are things that we are grossly missing in spades. And this idea that just, oh, anybody that really actually could help us is not good enough or we don't think could help is absurd. Okay, Bobby may be the worst Buck, but collectively the Bucks are the better team. So the worst of them, you know, could actually be kind of decent over here was my only point with that.
I mean, I don't disagree with like most of what you say, and like I also think that like fans have kind of blown out of proportion.
Yes.
Like marketing, right? Like they've like the Heat, you know, they're a business and they market a certain way, and it's not for naught, right? Because I mean, players do talk about it.
There's
something players are on the record.
Yeah, there is a lot like, to it, but there is a lot real. Of it overblown also. Fitness, yes.
Their fitness standard is like legit. Yep. A real thing where like other players are like, yeah, that's just not for me. Right. And like, I do think Siobhan, they have an unusual organizational stability that other teams don't have. People don't get fired here. That's, you know what I mean? Like in other organizations, GMs get fired, coaches get fired. I mean, the same people have worked here for 20 years. And I think when you talk about the idea of culture and this and that, it's like you are able to grow a vision for how you want to run your organization with the same homegrown people instituting these institutional ideas over decades, right? And I think that that's kind of what they've always meant by culture. It's like, this is how we do things. And I'll never forget when LeBron first got here and LeBron used to skip out like media stuff in Cleveland. And then Dwayne grabbed LeBron and he's like, no, this is how we do things here.
right? And again, this is not like a specific thing to the Heat because, you know, Portland runs a really good
organization.
San Antonio runs a really...
People make it seem like it's unique to the Heat. And I think
that's fans being silly. I mean, I think you'll get like some of that like everywhere, but like, you know, it's ridiculous to think the Heat are the only well-run organization because that's not true. And even if you're like the Lakers where you're not a well-run organization, you'll be good, right? So it's not like you have to be like this like super tight ship, right? You know, you could be a team like the Lakers or the Knicks that fucking backfell into a four seed, right? Like that happens, right? You know, like, and sometimes you could be the Spurs who are a really well-run organization and your whole fucking, your whole universe falls sideways on you because Kawhi hates you, right? So, you know, I think it happens and I do think there's nuances. The other point I wanted to make about like the hardest stuff was just, that was fans being dumb. And I think other times, it was just like ridiculous. And I do think other times with like players like Westbrook and Chris Paul and stuff, that was more of kind of cap situations where, and that you can fault the front office where they valued flexibility over players. And I think that they always kind of chased a dream and they're maybe a little drunk off of 2010. And guys, when guys like Chris Paul and Westbrook become available, you know, it's for a reason. You know, CP3 was hurt. And again, these are misses, right? Westbrook had, you know, some knee problems and, you know, he had a really big salary that you were a little scared of taking, especially because you also had Jimmy's contract and you were going to have to pay Bam. So I do think there's some nuances and, okay, well, we can't go get that guy because of X, Y, and Z. And also, like, you know, they just don't pay the luxury tax very often, especially if they're not contending. I mean, Mickey's paid it a ton, but, you know, if you're going to be into the late years of Jimmy Butler, Russell Westbrook, and whatever else you have, and you have Bam, who's, what, not even 30 years old, and you're stuck with a bunch of contracts that you literally can't move, I understand from their perspective. Not that they're perfect, and again, they've botched this offseason like totally and flagrantly, and the midseason moves were not enough, and they do overblow the marketing. Listen, Siobhan, I'm the first one to say I fucking hate the Heat Lifer thing because they marketed Heat Lifer and then they traded Mario Chalmers to offload salary. Like, it's bullshit. It's bullshit and it's all business and it's just the shit that they do. But I do think that there's some value in the stuff that they propagate, and I agree with you for the most part about all that other stuff, that they're not the only ones who do this, even though some fans feel like they are. I guess that's kind of like what I wanted to say.
All right, for the soliloquies.
That was long. I'm here in a parking lot across the street from a Winn-Dixie. This is where you guys make fun of me.
No, you're not wrong, and I there is a lot to it, like you said, but there is also,
it's annoying though. I agree with you.
It's incredibly hyperbolic sometimes, and annoying, and it pisses other teams off. I think one of my issues, I think we don't give other teams in the league anywhere near enough credit. Like, we look so solely at, you know, what Miami can do, need to do, how they can, you know, adjust or whatever, without taking into consideration that there are 15 other men on the other side of the floor who are looking to do that same thing and kick you in the ass every chance that they get.
Siobhan, most fans don't watch other teams.
Yeah, most fans don't.
Right, and they talk about them like they know.
Like they know.
Like, I know you watch a lot of basketball. Like, you're always tweeting about, like, this game. Like, you're watching Pelicans Kings on a Tuesday. Right, like, you love the game and you're watching all this stuff, so you have like this really wonderfully informed vision of the league. But like, most people don't even catch every Heat game. They'll catch 65 and then don't watch other teams, and they just kind of repeat what they hear on Twitter or on talk radio.
Yeah.
Brad says wow at me.
Yep.
Actually, I thought specifically about Alf when I said that. Not even that. I was like, I don't watch other teams. Fuck that. It's my day off.
So, in a nutshell, let's just wrap this up.
Yeah.
What's one thing they need to do to win on Thursday?
Siobhan?
Nope. When do y'all start?
I think the one thing they need to do is they really need to get into attacking Lopez and drop, but committing to do it, to clear out
to space, right? So like in game one, I thought they did a good job of kind of running some action and then having a cutter go to the corner so that you can get Brook in space with other guys, with Goran or Duncan or whoever in corners, where you can go at him simplified. I think that sometimes their offense gets a little too complicated. So I think if they kind of simplify their sets, make the reads easy, right? Because and at that point, if you're against Brook one-on-one in a drop, if somebody does come help, if he plays up a little higher, you can beat him. And if he's low, you really have the option of your jumper, take your pick or whatever. So to me, that's the one thing they have to do. And they have to really, really commit to doing it. Because once you get him off the floor, you're going to make your life so much easier because you're going to make the Bucks play a way that they don't want to play.
Right. All right, so I'll go. And there's so many things they need to do, and I feel like they're all obvious. But I'm going to say something that I didn't think I would be saying all year, and especially in the playoffs. They got to start going. I think they got to start going in that starting lineup.
I agree. Have
to start. I think Nunn needs to go to the bench. And honestly, I think Nunn needs to lead that bench lineup.
You know, Tiff, I like that because kind of going back to an earlier point, I think if you get Nunn against Portis, I think you might be able to get him going a little bit better than against Lopez and against Middleton and stuff like that.
Yep. And that's what I'm thinking. And that's exactly what I'm thinking. Also, because I hate the phrase must win, but it is. So if you're going out swinging, then you got to get your vet on the floor.
Are we burning boats, Siobhan?
What do you say?
Are we burning the boats?
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
You hate that, right? You hate burn the boats?
I hate so many of the epithets.
I love burn the boats. I mean, so much of what they do is ridiculous, but burn the boats is objectively funny.
Is that what I just did? Like, I don't even know what that means. Like,
so, okay.
Real quick, no one knows what it means, but it's provocative. It gets
right. Did I just burn the boats by saying start going?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of.
Let's go.
Because it seems obvious.
Burn the boat time. Yeah. It's all hands on deck.
Let's go.
Yeah. I think starting Goran is a move to inject some offensive life in that first unit and, like you said, to maybe hopefully free up, the bench unit. Bam and Deadman should see more time together.
Yep.
I mean, there are a few things. You definitely have to attack the drop. You can't just, you either have to hit shots or you have to put Brook Lopez on skates. You have to make him retreat, make him backpedal, go at him. Stop playing so passive. Stop playing so timid. Stop playing so afraid. Be decisive in what it is that you, and if that means, like you said, simplifying a little bit so that they can be more decisive, then that's what you do. But I like starting Goran, and if for nothing else but this one game, it's everything. You remember the freaking the SpongeBob movie when Plankton had got through all of his plans,
yes,
and then he forgot that he didn't touch Plan Z. We're at Plan Z. you got
Plan KZ.
Listen, and I'm gonna tell you this. At some point, even if it's for a quick 30 seconds, you got to use what you got. Yeah, you laugh, but think about it, G. If Jimmy says I need 30 seconds, all right, KZ, I don't really want you shooting, but get your arms in the passing lanes. That's all I want you to do for 30
seconds. They did it with Solomon Hill.
Use KZ like you use DJJ. You put DJJ
at
the top because he was long and athletic and quick and energetic. Use him in that same type of
30 seconds, go. If you shoot, but get in the passing lanes. That's all I need you to do. Cause you have
to be honest.
Listen, you have not you've shown your hand. Right? You've shown your hand. So guess what? Just play the cards.
You've shown your hand. You've shown what's up your sleeve. Like
they didn't show their asses.
Showed their asses. Like
Bare
asses. But I'm just saying, at this point, you got to do what you got to do. So throw Goran out there. And say, you know what, Gogi? get what you can get.
Life, love it. All right, guys, thank you guys so much for staying with us through this little therapy session. It's fun to talk with friends, even if that loss sucked ass. But you know, we're here having fun, laughing, making jokes. Remember, we're gonna do a podcast tonight. I think in 7 p.m. on Twitch.
Hey,
what up? Hey,
none of you have any fucking guts.
None.
He did four.
Siobhan didn't know what burn the boats was. That isn't Tiff.
No guts.
Alf, are we burning boats?
That's like a Miami thing.
We burning boats?
All extra niche. He left.
He's out. Oh, he's back. We'll end it on your answer.
Burn the boats.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.